Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Richard Pollock up in the press box. And the Winnipeg Jets have just dropped a 3-2 shootout defeat to the Minnesota Wild, a game that they led 2-1 until about the 14-15 minute mark of the third period, where they gave up a shorthanded goal that tied the game. It went into overtime, and they eventually lost it in the shootout. Richard, this was a Minnesota Wild team who at the last minute had to start their backup goalie just off of IR as Josh Harding got injured in the warm-up. Nicholas Backstrom, now he's no slouch, but he was their backup. They didn't expect to play him today. And they weren't playing with Mikael Granlund, probably their second-line center. And they had 11 forwards and 7 D. So this was not the full-strength Minnesota Wild team, and the Winnipeg Jets still couldn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a full-strength Jets team. Right?
True.
You have
true.
No Bogosian, you got no Trouba. Those are the two big injuries, really. I mean, Stewart's back tonight. So that's not so much an issue for me, Drew, as much as it is a game that you're playing at home against a division rival, and you, for the most part, I thought I played them, and you just don't know how to win. That's simple. You don't know how to win, and you blew it because you can't execute down the stretch, and you can't make the simple play, and you can't see what's supposed to be done. And then, you know, I'm not saying you're not doing it. I'm saying I'm not sure you're seeing what's supposed to be done. Never mind doing it.
Sure. The vision isn't there. The play that you need to make, it's not apparent to you at that point
time.
Yeah. And how do you fix that problem, though?
I don't know.
Is that
another? That's for another 5 shows, because that'll take how long it'll take. But in terms of the game tonight, the Jets played, I thought, pretty hard. I thought, you know, against the Minnesota team, they didn't try and force too much. Minnesota's a team that, for all the talk about the Jacques Lemaire years and changing it with Todd Richards and stuff, this team plays just like Jacques Lemaire's teams played. A boring style. And they're trying to lull you into mistakes and take advantage of those. I thought for the most part the Jets didn't fall prey to that strategy.
Yeah.
They just didn't execute and they didn't see what they were supposed to have done at the end of the game.
I didn't think that to that point, I didn't think the Jets played a poor game.
I thought they outplayed them.
Yeah, they were very responsible. They didn't do anything, you watch them, with a player or have a defensive zone coverage just makes you shake their head. Didn't really think they had very many breakdowns today.
But they had breakdowns when it mattered.
Yeah.
One breakdown when it mattered.
Yeah, it's just that you're on a power play. You can seal the game. A good team scores a power play goal there.
It's not even that.
Kills off the 2 minutes, and you're 2 minutes closer to winning in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they give up the power play goal, they give up the shorthanded goal. It's 2-2. The Minnesota Wild take it to the shootout, and at that point in time, you're flipping the coin.
Yep.
Let's start off with the goal scoring. Opened the goal scoring at the 13-minute mark of the second period. Michael Frolik gets the goal from Matt Halaschuk. Halaschuk creates the turnover at the blue line.
Turnover by Matt Cook.
By Matt Cook at the blue line. He comes in on Nicholas Backstrom. A good, high, hard shot. Mm-hmm. Not very easy to handle. It sort of hit Backstrom up in the collarbone, shoulder blade region. Drops down in the crease, and Frolik is there for the dirty goal just to jam it in.
I thought Backstrom fought the puck a little bit, not surprisingly, off IR at the beginning. Was stopping it, but was fighting it in terms of rebounds. Throughout the game, he got better at that. That play is a result of a turnover by Cook. Good play by Halaschuk, who I thought played a solid game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frolik goes to the net, and Healy blew coverage. So what Healy does there is Healy tries to swipe the puck out of the way. But what you're taught is to take the man. And the man was there, Frolik, not a bigger guy than Healy, so certainly somebody Healy could take. Healy goes for the puck, misses it, and Frolik goes to the net. We've said it 100 times, good things happen, gets a rebound, 1-0.
Yeah, exactly right. Jets managed to take that 1-0 lead in after 40 minutes. Before we get into the third period, I wanted to go back to the first minute. The first period, the 17-minute mark, the pass from Enstrom to Kane, and then the glove save by Nicholas Backstrom at that point.
Yeah, it was a very nice pass by Enstrom to Kane. I thought Kane passed pretty well in the first period. Kane gets off a great shot, but Backstrom makes a beautiful glove save. Could have been 2-0. Kind of a similar play to the Hossa pass to Saad on Thursday night. but just the save was made by the goalie this time.
That's right. And then in the second period, before at the 10-minute mark, the Jets really had a good – oh, pardon me. The Wild had a good opportunity to tie it up at 1-1. Jason Zucker really had a wide-open net.
Yeah.
And Andre Pavlik came across, just kicked out the leg, an old-school, you know, a kick save, as it were, and he kept the game 1-0 for the Jets at that point in time. You would figure 9 times out of 10, Zucker's going to bury that in the back of the net.
Yeah, from our vantage point, it looked like it was going to go in, and Pavlik just kicked out that leg, and beautiful save. Obviously, you know, kept the Jets in a good spot there, and you know, he played solid game. They had a bunch of shots, and you know, you lose a shootout, we can't. What are you going to do with the shootout? But yeah, they've been victorious in the shootout more than they haven't. So
yeah, I thought Andre Pavlik was good again for the Jets tonight. No real problems with either of the two goals that he gave up there.
Let's talk about the goals.
Okay, let's talk about it. So we go to the third period. The Jets have a 1-0 lead at the 3:21 mark of the third period. Nino Niederreiter gets the goal for the Minnesota Wild. Assist to Marco Scandella and Zach Parise. Parise passes it over to Scandella at the point. Scandella is able to walk in, takes a slap shot. Good save by Pavlik. The rebound just drops in front of him.
Yep.
Andre, and Olli Jokinen standing there doesn't, you know, takes this guy sort of after the fact, doesn't tie him up, doesn't do anything to take away the opportunity, and Niederreiter jams it past Pavlik there to make it 1-1.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Setoguchi probably could have closed on Scandella there a little quicker, or blocked it. Didn't do either. Puck gets through, Jokinen and Buff Leonard caught back there. I think he had a great vantage point of the goal, but you mentioned Jokinen and Buff kind of didn't have a man there, so somebody's got to have a guy in front.
Yeah.
Communication, defensive breakdown, blah, blah. Heard it 100 times, this squad. And preventable goal. It's 1-1.
Yeah, Jokinen, I mean, to me it was Jokinen's guy. He just, I mean, you know, he knocks Niederreiter down, but he knocks him down after the puck's already in the back of the net. So, you know, some good that does. So he can't celebrate as quickly. He's got to wait to get up to celebrate. Anyways, that was at the 3:21 mark. To the Jets' credit, they did bounce back. It only took them about 2.5 minutes later at the 5:35 mark of the third period. Matt Halaschuk, he gets the goal. This one from Michael Frolik. Both of them, it's their second point of the night for each of those guys. Mark Scheifele gets the other assist on that goal. Defensive breakdown by the Wild. Frolik's got the puck sort of along the boards between the top of the circle and the blue line. Halaschuk is wide open, left wide open in front of the net. Nobody within, you know, 3 feet of him. Gets the puck. Frolik with a nice pass to Halaschuk. First shot was saved by Backstrom, and then on the rebound, Halaschuk was able to bury it past him, and it was 2-1 Jets at the 5:35 mark of the second,
yeah,
of the third
yeah,
period.
Matt Dumba there and Matt Cook got mixed up. So Dumba's trying to stay back because of his D partner is being more aggressive, and then what happens there is Dumba doesn't go back to the guy in front. Cook's kind of rotating downwards based on the Wild and their defensive play at that time. There's a communication issue. Halaschuk's wide open, and that allows for him to get the rebound. So there you go. You know, and then that's one thing about Halaschuk, though, if you watch the play, is that Halaschuk makes the kind of the pass, and then he just goes to the net.
Yeah.
It's such a simple play. Now, I know it's a cross-up, but the cross-up doesn't work. It's not a cross-up that affects the Wild if Halaschuk doesn't go to the net.
Right. I mean, and you know, drive the net, nothing bad ever happens. No coach is going to say, you know, we're going too hard to the net.
We'll talk drive to the net because that was a huge factor in that second goal by the Wild.
Well, and let's go to that game, that goal that came at the 15:05 mark of the third period. It was the shorthanded goal.
Yeah, reprehensible.
Well, reprehensible to give up a shorthanded goal in that situation. Beautiful goal by the Wild.
Beautiful goal.
It's a turnover at the Wild blue line by Toby Enstrom. The Wild come in.
He's pressured.
Yeah, he's pressured. But it's
so he's pressured. And he, instead of pinning the puck on the boards, trying to, because you have a 5-on-4, so you can man advantage, so that means you're going to have an extra guy and help on the boards.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do that. Except trying to fire it up the boards, doesn't do that. Fires it up the middle, or it ends up the middle. And then you have to be, so if you're Toby Enstrom, you have to be understanding. And I don't know if it was tipped, I thought he shot up the middle. I don't know if it was tipped, so forgive me if it was. You have to know who you're playing against. You're playing against Mikko Koivu and Zach Parise on the penalty kill. Dangerous players in transition, especially Parise. Okay? So you have to know that. But the puck goes up the middle, right to the Wild forward. Caught. So what happens? The Wild push it the other way.
Yeah.
Ryan Suter seizes the opportunity, and he starts rushing up to make it a 3-on-2.
Yeah.
But he makes it a 3-on-2. 3-on-2 is fine and dandy, but it's what you do with the 3-on-2. What does he do? Ryan Suter drives the net. As the middle guy, he drives the net. So what the net drive does is it backs up the defenseman because the defenseman either need to take the Suter pass, meaning the pass from Koivu, who's on the left side down the wing, because he takes the Suter pass away, that opens up the seam across.
Right.
Or he doesn't take the Suter pass away, and Suter's open for either a tip-in or a rebound. So Suter backs up the defenseman, Koivu waits just long enough to make the seam pass to Parise, who gets a stick in a shooting position, gets the lean down, and fires it. It's just execution by three terrific hockey players.
Yeah.
Three hockey players that, in reality, I don't know if the Jets have anybody as skilled as those three guys. And execution, lack of execution on the Jets' part. It's 2-2. And that's the game. That's the other point.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it really was a beautiful pass from Koivu, and the number of players who can make that pass on each team. Maybe one guy on each team can make that pass. I'm not sure the Jets have anybody who can make that pass, but that's just a tremendous pass. And Parise,
the Jets may have a guy who can make that pass, that one pass.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that they don't have somebody who can make passes like Koivu.
Right. And Parise, the way he was able to,
absolutely.
I mean, he wasn't on his off wing there.
He was on his off wing.
Okay, yeah. But the shot wasn't in a, you know, it wasn't.
It was a tough angle shot.
Yes. I mean,
it was a little bit more in front of him.
Yes,
is what you're saying. So he's got to get down and up.
That's right.
It's a hard play, and it's hard
to execute that shot the way he did it.
Absolutely,
it's a goal scorer shot.
That's right. That's
right. 2-2. It was 2-2 at the end of regulation at that point in time. Overtime obviously solved nothing. The Jets had probably the better of the action there.
Overtime can be exciting, but it's a lot of periphery stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It was a lot of dancing around hoping there's going to be a breakdown. There wasn't, because the Wild, you know, it's not their thing. They don't break down. That's their damn good team defensively, and there's a reason why. And then it goes to the shootout, and rather than bore you with all the eight shooters it took to decide it, the four rounds it took, all you need to know is Charlie Coyle won it for the Wild after Brian Little, to his credit, tied it for the Jets on the Jets' third shot of the shootout.
Yeah, Little lad and a bunch of passengers. I know Ladd didn't score, but I liked his move. Little had a nice clutch goal there, and then Coyle with a beautiful move. Coyle's a nice player.
Yeah.
So there you go. You know, the Jets, you go to enough shootouts, as you said, you're going to coin flip it out, and they've won their fair share, so they're going to lose their fair share, likely.
Yeah.
And there you go. The Jets going on a 6-game road trip. It's an easy road trip.
Mm-hmm. But they,
with respect to the quality of competition they're going to be facing, but nothing's easy at this point. And it looked like Dustin Byfuglien wasn't 100% today, and Dustin Byfuglien was not playing 100% cost this team. And Remus pointed that out, and
yeah,
we talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it at the beginning of the podcast here, but when he's not healthy, boy, that defense looks a lot different, and the offense from the defense looks a lot different. And
sure,
with Trouba out and with Bogosian out, although Trouba might draw back in this trip. Jets are the Jets' strength of defense and offense from defense and all the other things is slowly kind of slipping away.
Yeah, Byfuglien did still lead the Jets with ice time play, 26 minutes and 46 seconds.
Different ice time than last game.
You're right. He didn't have the jump that he normally has, and he did look like at a point in time he was laboring a little bit. We'll see if that turns into anything. With this being an afternoon game, the Jets almost do get two full days off before their next in action Monday night in New Jersey.
And as we mentioned on the show this morning, they don't play any back-to-backs on the road trip.
Right. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They got a lot of time, a lot of downtime on this road trip. 6 games in 14 days. That doesn't happen very often in the NHL. You're usually probably closer to 9 or 10 games in 14 days on a long road trip like that.
Yeah, you're usually playing every other night with one or two back-to-backs.
That's right. Anyways, that's it for here from the MTS Center. Dave Minuk from IllegalCurve.com is going to have audio from both the Jets dressing room and the Minnesota Wild dressing room. For my colleague Richard Pollock, for producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.